Patients. We are now moving into the end of our day one program. We're going to have a step six and seven panel followed by our Al-Anon speaker, Larsoon. I probably should have introduced myself if you haven't met me yet. My name's Damien. I'm an alcoholic. I would like to begin this session with a serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I would now like to hand over to my very good mate, Darren F. from Kingswood There Is a Solution, who is going to chair the Step 6 and 7 panel for us. You there, mate?
You're unmuted, Darren.
Can't hear you, buddy.
No, can't hear.
Okay, that one hasn't worked out too well. If everyone just bears with me, I'll grab the little script there and I will attempt to read it for him. I'm not going to introduce Darren. I still am Damien, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Step 6 and 7 panel of the Fellowship of the Spirit Easter Lockdown. I ask that we all observe a few moments' silence to reflect upon our primary purpose and the still sick and suffering alcoholic and their family members, both inside and outside the rooms. We're going to have three speakers again on this panel. Each has been provided with a reading upon which we have asked them to share their experience for 15 minutes. Each panel will be followed by a 30-minute approximate question and answer session. Towards the end of the third speaker, we'll open up the chat section for questions. So if you enter those questions on the chat function in your Zoom display, please keep this section just for questions. It's very difficult for the moderators to keep up when too much is happening on there. And we will attempt to get through as many of those questions as possible. So the reading for our first panelist is from Chapter 6, Into Action, page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? I would now like to ask David S. from, I believe, LA, California, to share with us for 15 minutes, please.
I've unmuted him.
You there, David?
Okay. Hi, my name's David. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
And it's really an honor to be asked to share on 6 and 7, which I've done a lot, but that's okay. I'm finally getting used to it. So, a couple of things. When I went through the work, I think that was like the second time was considered my big inventory, and I went all the way through. I finished that set of amends. Was rocked in the fourth dimension of existence. Yada 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 yada. So, My sponsor, well, he was actually, I call him my sponsor, but, you know, way back in those days, back in that old home group, that was kind of like a taboo kind of word. So we really, we preferred step guide. And kind of like, from what I understand, Don really, Joe never asked Don to be his sponsor. He asked him to take him through the work. So, and then Joe went through the work of like 5 times with these guys from Denver. He came to LA. Dan came to the meeting, went through the work, and then Dan took me through the work when he was in his fourth step with Joe. And from that, I had a 1200 page inventory, and Dan said, you know what? I'm not going to listen to 1200 pages. Sorry. So we whittled it down to, I think it was like 160 or something like that. And then, so I fifth stepped with that, with him. And then, you know, Dan had a thing about always, he says, actually, you know, when you go into a step and it's in the book and it's designated where it is, except for step one, usually it starts to talk about the step a paragraph before. So, like you just read, read the paragraph that's about step six. So, in order to really be affiliated with what I find objectionable, is I have to go back and look through my inventory to see about those defects of character. Okay, and then so I'm a ghetto kid. You know, I was born in downtown LA. I was raised as a very young child near 32nd Place and Jefferson. that's not Beverly Hills. and this was in the 60s, right? I was born in 1957. So by the time we moved that house, I think I was like 2 or 3, and I don't remember any of that. But you know, when I got to school, I didn't do very well in school, and, you know, I was constantly getting in trouble. And, you know, so, one of the defects that I was talking about is it will come up and we'll talk about it in a minute. So by the time I got here, you know, I didn't read very well. I didn't write very well. I usually never get invited to talk somewhere else because I usually wind up cussing somebody out or saying something offensive. So, I've gotten better a little. So with that, when I got to step six, you know, I wasn't, I'm like illiterate. I have like a fifth or sixth grade reading level, and I have a 12% comprehension rate. So I have to read something like 5 or 6 times before it actually penetrates this thing, this concrete block here. And, so, I had to look everything up, you know, in a 1936 or 1939 dictionary. So, defect is want or lack of something essential to perfection or completeness, a deficiency. Also, the amount by which anything falls short. Character. The total of characteristics or distinguishing features, distinguishing features. Also, moral constitution as of people or person. Often strongly developed moral quality, also reputation, often good repute, and accounting of the qualities of peculiar of peculiarity of a person, shortcoming. A coming up short of what should be obtained, a failure to come up to a standard of excellence in achievement, conduct, or character. So that's kind of like a tall order, right? So the biggest, I think, character defect that came out in that inventory was procrastination, which is actually, a lot of guys, I've been doing it too recently. A few years back, I look at my relationships in regards to seven deadly sins. So sloth, it is actually, right, would be a current day manifestation of procrastination. So, and there's a lot of other ones, right? And there's like superiority. You know, I'm Japanese, in case you didn't know. I'm third generation. So I was born here. My parents were born here and my grandfather were born in Japan. And, I was raised with the fact that, we're probably like the most prejudiced people on earth. Like we're the master race. Like, you know, everybody has to bow down to the Japanese. My parents always used to remind me of that pretty much probably daily. I just don't remember, but I remember there was always that sense of being better than everybody else. And like who doesn't have that? Right? Who doesn't want to think that, you know what? I'm better than him. You know? Especially, you know, being raised the way I was. Yeah, that was true. It's, all those cliches. Well, I guess you guys don't know, but all those cliches, you know, you don't do business with Koreans, da 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 da. My first step guide was a Korean guy. When I brought him home, my mom said, "Get that Korean out of my house." And I said, "Mom, he's here to help." You know what I mean? And she kind of let her guard down, and that guy showed me the way. I mean, you know, we opened up the book. We put, well, back then the triangle is still in the book, so we didn't have to put it in, but he explained to it. And when we got to the part with all three, the equilateral triangle, he says, "If you do this work in an equilateral and one proportion, you'll become one with the universe." And a light bulb went off in my head. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what happened when I finished that step five. A light bulb went on in my head. And what happened was I looked in the mirror, and it was the first time I was able to look in the pupils of my eyes and be okay with what I saw. I've had some remarkable things happen in the step process. Self-righteous anger. I used to chase down guys on the 10 freeway after they cut me off. And, you know, I always carried firearms. Always. Sometimes two. Sometimes three, depending on the situation. And, you know, I wouldn't show it or nothing, but I would chase these guys down and I would cut them off and lock up my brakes and just pray they hit me so I could sue the shit out of them. But, of course, that never happened. And, for God's grace, I never got in any trouble for that. So for a long time, the amends that came out of that was for me to drive like a half-decent human being. Plus, I've always ridden motorcycles. So, you know, I've been hit so many times and people have cut me off. And so that's kind of like the routine. Another one of the, like the seven deadly sins is gluttony. So, I'm pretty fat. Who doesn't like to overindulge, you know, take an extra bite of cake or something like that. You know what I mean? So, and these things are really subtle, you know what I mean? But, we get a chance to look at them when we look at, you know, those things that we're falling short of. We're falling short of a deal. Envy. Well, that's my talk is a little bit about that right now, right? Who doesn't want to feel like they're a little bit better than everybody else? In my case, I like to think that I'm worse than everybody else, right? It's like, I hate to say it, it's like circuit speakers. Why do you want to be famous in an anonymous program? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't get it, but I'm not supposed to because that's not me. You know, my sponsor or my step guide, my actually Dan, kind of like what Bill said, he became my father. You know, he became the older brother that I never had. In actuality, what happened is Dan was my best friend. Excuse me. And Dan, in his step process, I got to grow up. Because just like Bill was talking, I was this messed up little kid at 12 years old when I got sober at 32. I was the same guy at 32 that I was at 12. Same dude. And so maybe I don't know if I'm running out of time or not, but on the flip side of those things that I talked about is you know, with procrastination, you know what? Some things get removed, some things don't, right? Maybe you have to be patient to wait for God's time. Maybe I can't help in being envious, but God can. Kind of like a recent thing now is you know, I don't believe you can be happy if you haven't experienced some sadness. And that goes back to the second step, right? Because if God is everything, then he's what I call bad, and what he's also what I call good, right? So isn't that me playing judgment again? Because usually what I think is bad or distasteful usually winds up being the grace and the greatest learning tool for me. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, that's the way it is. Usually I have to be pain. I have to be wallow in pain and suffering before I can really appreciate some joy and some freedom. That's just the way it's been for me. And then, and I'm okay with that. I hope you got anything out of what I said. The principle in step six is willingness. You know, I don't know how many times that word is in the big book and the first 164, but it's a lot. So willingness is still the key. And humility is the principle in step seven. Humility, I can't do. God has to direct me in the path for me to become humble. And me by nature, I'm not a humble guy. But I let the people that have gone on before me, and I let God humble me so I can be helpful to others. Thank you.
Thanks, David.